Welcome back, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. When big events happen around the world, there are tireless, dedicated employees of the State Department, foreign service officials, that are there on the ground communicating intelligence, helping to diffuse volatile situations, many of which we never hear about because things don't get worse. It is the 36th anniversary of that moment in Tiananmen Square where a student faced off against a tank. It is those kinds of situations that do make the press that we do hear about, but again, so many more, especially in the areas of public health, that our Foreign Service officials have an incredible impact. We have one of those career senior Foreign Service officials joining us today as our special guest here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Her name is Ambassador Cynthia Eford. She served, again, for nearly 40 years, three of which was as ambassador to the Republic of Angola. One of our listeners texting in on the text lines over the break had a very particular question for you, Ambassador, and I thought I would just start there because it was such an interesting one. And that is, when you were serving at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow back in the late 90s, was the White House, the Russian equivalent of the White House, still damaged from the Yeltsin tanks when you were there, or had it been repaired? I love it. We've got very informed listeners here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, actually, it had been pretty much repaired. I was there during the period, just at the end of the Yeltsin period. He was having real trouble with drink or health issues or whatever. And there was a particular press conference with President Clinton where President Clinton helped him along. And I have to tell you, I'm sorry to say, that when Putin came on the scene, we thought, aha, this is a much younger person. He's been in Germany, lived there, granted as a spy, but he had been there. Maybe he will be able to retrieve the situation. And of course, what happened was it just got worse because he just took over the oligarch's graft. And what we see now with the terrible situation in Ukraine is the result of him slowly over the last 20 years developing a technique of creating conflicts, starting in Georgia where they invaded, and now, of course, in Ukraine. And it is because I think we have not sufficiently stood up to him, or that we have wavered in our support for our democratic values.
If I can ask you a follow-up question to that, Ambassador, why aren't we hearing from more retired Foreign Service officials? And if they are speaking in ways, are there places that we, the general public, should be going to look? Or as it is, and I think one of the norms that I always understood is that most career Foreign Service officials will not speak out and criticize current administrations or politicians because, again, you serve over a career, you serve Republicans and Democrats, you take on this very serious oath duty to be more apolitical and to not say those things. Is it a unique moment? Do you think your former colleagues, retired Foreign Service officials, should be speaking out more on this moment, especially given, I think, the threat that Vladimir Putin poses to, frankly, many of our allies in Western Europe and democratic order writ large?
Well, actually, I see a lot of former Foreign Service officers, ambassadors, speaking out. Generally, they are identified by their current role, the think tank they're working for. One name comes to mind, Ambassador McFaul, former ambassador to Russia. He's often on CNN, I think, or MSNBC. But most of us don't want to be involved in U.S. politics, but we very much want our expertise and our concern and our ability to analyze cross-cultural issues to be able to come to the fore.
Yeah, we've had a few guests on from the Council on Foreign Relations, other of these think tanks trying to get just myself and other average folks the benefit of your expertise and these years of experience. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Why is understanding the importance of places like USAID and the State Department and what foreign services, why is that so important in this moment particularly?
Well, I think I'd like to speak a little bit about USAID, partly because there's a terrible misconception about how generous we are on foreign aid. Actually, the U.S. puts about 0.2% of our federal budget into foreign assistance. And although most Americans think it's much more than that, they, by a strong majority, I read somewhere 62%, oppose us not providing food, health, and security assistance to poor countries. You know, the U.S. is a country of can-do, generous people. And we do care about the human rights. We do care about people being poor. I think it's a misunderstanding. When they made the draconian DOGE cuts in USAID, there were antiretroviral to combat HIV/AIDS people, medicines sitting on the shelves that the contractors were told they could not take off and give to people. And I read some scientists did a study that there are maybe 100 people in the world each hour dying because of our cuts in foreign assistance. And this isn't given only because we care about other human beings. There are great benefits to the U.S. as well. Because we are seen as strong supporters of human rights, of free media, of economic benefits across the society, we're given a seat at the table that no other country has been able to have. And so that gives us a chance to carry out our objectives in a fair and open way. Our work in free media abroad, I remember when I was redoing the, helping to rehab the media sector, they said, how in the U.S. do you fund media so that it is fair and free and not under the government's thumb? And I said, well, NPR PBS, for instance, they get contributions from people. And they said, people just give them money? And I said, yeah, that's the American way. The government's money makes them able to reach a wider audience, but it's the listeners who pay for the actual programming.
To your point specifically, Ambassador Eford, I am sad to share with you and our listeners that an article just posted a wee bit ago today, like three minutes ago in the New York Times, says nearly all remaining Voice of America employees could be fired under a new proposed restructuring. Again, the Voice of America, founded in 1942 to combat Nazi propaganda, to stand up for the Fourth Estate, the free and vigorous press, to hold governments and government actors and elected officials accountable. what you're describing is something that wonky folks will often term soft power. In other words, it's not when the United States sends troops. It is when we have diplomats on the ground assisting countries and governments. It's when people know that we will show up when there is a potential Ebola-like outbreak to help save lives, to help better people's lives across the globe. But this is done because doing so in both the short, medium, and of course the long term as well, actually serves U.S. interests. People listen to us. They'll do what we ask when we have needs, when we ask them to do different things to impact geopolitics. Ambassador, am I defining soft power correctly? Is that what people mean when they use that term? And how would you additionally tell somebody, hey, sitting in I don't know, Wausau this afternoon, why this is so important to the person in Wausau or up in the near the Apostle Islands or wherever folks may be across this beautiful state?
Well, it is true. Diplomacy is a very cheap tool, because it doesn't cost very much to have embassies around the world. As I said, 168. What's very expensive is any military action. And I think as a people, we tend to want a quick, fast solution. And oftentimes military solutions seem as though they will be quick and fast. But as we've seen from the war on terrorism, from Afghanistan, from Vietnam War, even the Second World War, we won that war, but the Soviet Union created afterwards, and we had to fight the Cold War that followed afterwards. Mm-hmm. So diplomacy is a cheap tool that can be deployed around the world and that can provide, as I said, protection for our citizens, increased reach of our economic power, and the spread of the kind of prosperity that makes people happy to stay at home rather than wanting to come here. Also, if that nice person in Wausau is planning or has children who are going to go to university, the cost of their university education is partly covered by foreign students.
By foreign students, yes.
Who are paying their full share for the tuition.
Ambassador, I know you're one smart cookie, but that is a little wrinkle that I have talked about with my friends. I know a lot about higher education administration, and most people do not realize that a huge chunk of the operating budgets of every single college and university, public and private, the creme de la creme, to smaller, less known universities and colleges, is paid by international students who pay full tuition. Basically, almost nobody else in the United States pays the full load of tuition. International students do. It is an increasingly essential component of revenue for all of our institutions of higher learning. And as we look at an incredible demographic crunch coming in the next 10 to 15 years, there'll be fewer people in that age range of 17 to approximately 25. Boy, that is going to pose quite a challenge for higher education. So again, folks can extrapolate from that what they will, given this administration's dim view and attacks on international students writ large. Ambassador, we have just about a minute left. What do you want Wisconsinites and Americans listening to you today to know? And more importantly, what should they do to help support cheap diplomacy that has a long reach of America's soft power?
I think it's partly just being aware that their diplomatic corps is out there and is doing your business for you. Mm. And whether it's your kid that gets picked up overseas and needs to be supported, or whether it's your business, or whether it's just that you want America to be great because it's good.
America to be great because it's good. My sincere thanks to former U.S. Ambassador to the Republic of Angola, Cynthia Eford. Such a pleasure. We have some breaking news on the state budget coming up. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.